Spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today we are honored to present the first of three programs based on the Joseph books by Thomas Mann, considered one of the great literary works of our time. Our first program introduces us to Young Joseph. The novels were adapted for radio by Arthur Arendt, and Paul Mann is featured as Joseph.
God created man last, partly for the humbling of man, that he must needs say to himself, the blowfly was born before me, but partly that he might sit down straightway to the meal, as the guest for whom all things had been made ready.
This then is the tale of the dreamer, of the young Joseph, the guest for whom all things had been made ready. The story goes on to tell how Joseph, being 17 years old, lived with his father and brothers in the shadow of the walls of Hebron. What is a man, it says, but a pattern of shapes and dimensions in the minds of others? And the shape and dimension of Joseph was firm in the mind of Eliezer, the scribe.
Hail to thee, son of the lovely one. Thy progress is brilliant. Soon thou wilt be mazkir of a prince and the admonisher of some great king. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
And Joseph, the youngest but one of 12, would swagger out into the milking field to help... to advise his brothers on how best to do the thing they had been doing all their lives. And the shape of Joseph, the dreamer, was firm in the minds of his brothers.
Look, here he comes, the inky-fingered fool. Perhaps now he will graciously consent to touch a goat, pointing out its favors and blemishes. Oh, lay it only in our hands that someday when our father is not there to protect him.
And now it is evening. The stars hang full in the black sky, and the lamps in the tent are lighted. Jacob the father sits with his son Joseph, playing at a game on the bronze surface of the tabaret.
There, and there, and there. Now what?
Now have I nothing left. Thou hast beaten me, father.
So it is. And yet I made many blunders.
My father was distracted.
True. Thy way of playing, Joseph, reminds me of Rachel, thy mother. Even her way of biting her little finger, as she considered, and certain little stratagems she loved. Thou hast them all, and I am moved by them as I play.
Wert thou distracted, father, by something else? A promise, perhaps?
Promise? What promise?
A promise of thine that itcheth in mine ear by day and night. A promise which hath robbed me of peace. so that curiosity plagueth me wherever I go.
Thy words add up, but their meaning...
Didst thou not say only yesterday, Joseph, I purpose to give thee something to make thy heart rejoice?
I said that. It was nothing. Nothing at all.
Perhaps. But methinks I saw, as my father spoke, there was a thing in his mind's eye. Not just anything at all, but some particular and splendid thing. For me.
Very well. I will tell thee. There was a thing.
Was?
Is. Hearken, my son. Hast thou ever heard of Rachel's ketonet pasim?
The coat of my mother's? Something she wore?
Listen now, and I will say it. When I had served 7 years for Rachel, and the time approached that I should receive her in the Lord, Laban, her father, spoke to me.
Jacob, I will give thee a cloth wherein the bride may veil herself and be consecrated. A fine thing, belonging once to a king's daughter, embroidered with emblems and portents. Rachel shall veil her head in it and become like unto the bride of heaven in the tower of Ethymenachy.
Those were his words, my son. But later, when I handed the bride the flower and lifted the veil, it was not Rachel, but Leah whom that devil Laban had brought to me.
And did my mother wear this veil too, at her time?
She did. And it is not a veil, nor a wrap, nor a coat, but a piece of sumptuousness.
Is it here, in this tent?
Not far off.
And my father will give it to me?
Perhaps. Things are in the balance, and the Lord hath not yet pronounced upon them in my heart.
What things, father?
Art thou the firstborn? No. First came Reuben. But Reuben sinned, and I was driven to take from him his birthright. Is it thy turn next, then, that I should give thee the cloak? One might answer, no. For after Reuben came Simeon and Levi, and then Judah. And then again, one might answer, yes. Because when Leah's firstborn fell and was cursed, then came the turn of Rachel's firstborn, thou. But all that is doubtful and unclear. And if I garb thee in the cloak, then might the brethren falsely interpret it as the blessing and rise up in jealousy against thee and me.
Father, let me see the cloak.
Well, seeing is not having, but I warn thee, seeing is wanting to have.
I must see it, Father.
Very well. But stop where thou art. Put thy hands behind thee. Here in this chest it is. Not on top with the woolen, but down. Down to here. Here is the cloak of many colors.
Ye heavenly lights. How beautiful. Look, there is a man with a club fighting a lion. And there is a bat, a wolf, a bright colored bird. Ye heavenly host, my eyes are burning from staring at such a distance. I will come nearer.
Not too near.
What flowers. What figures and shapes and arrangements. Is the stitch of the fingers is soft? Let me touch it, Father.
Well.
Oh, it is soft. I knew it. Is it too small, perhaps, or too large? How will I know? I must know. I must try it on just once. Just once, and only for a brief moment. Father. I have put on my coat. Shall I take it off?
No. No. Keep it. Keep it.
And Joseph wore the coat, and when he went to sleep, he took it off and covered himself with it. And later, when the brothers came in from the field, they looked down and saw. And Gad said,
"Look at him. Regard the sanctimonious expression. Here we stand, the workers in the fields, the milkers, the men of toil. And there he sleeps, the do-nothing, the turner of heads. And he hath the coat. Are we to bow down before him? I keep hearing those words, bow down, as though some cursed insect kept them buzzing in mine ear. Bow down, it says. That's what he would of you. Bow down, bow down, bow down.
Next morning, there was no conversation among the 11 brothers until they had separated, the 10 and the 1. And the 1, who was Joseph, strolled to the women's quarters to see his brother, the baby Benjamin. And as he strolled, he knew that he was being followed.
Joseph! Joseph! It is Reuben! Wait!
Good morning, brother.
Good morning. I see thou hast a new robe. Wilt thou keep it?
I will keep it, Reuben. Our father gave it to me as a gift. Last night, after the game we played.
Joseph, thou playest these games shrewdly and well, for thou art practiced by Eliezer. Tell me, Joseph, didst thou let the old man win in order to ingratiate thyself? Answer. So thou hast wheedled the coat out of him.
He promised it without my asking. And when I reminded him of the promise, he gave it to me.
Listen, brother, knowest thou not it is against God to misuse the power that is given thee?
What power have I over Jacob?
Thou liest in asking, for thou hast over him Rachel's power. Brother, have I not saved thee 10 times already from the wrath of the brethren? And for that wouldst thou go and beguile our father of the coat while we were pasturing far away? Tell me who thou art, and how much is thine arrogance that thou makest thyself different from us all, and walkest as one set apart? Fearest thou not that thy conceit will draw down upon thee the dark clouds out of which the lightning strikes? Give it back, Joseph. Give back the coat.
And at the evening meal, the brothers sat with faces like graven images, and Jacob was full of fears. But Joseph wore the coat. And one day at the harvest time, it came to pass that Joseph was in the field working with his brothers. And at the midday hour, when they gathered to rest and eat, Joseph fell asleep. The brothers continued their talk of this and that, and suddenly Joseph sat up. There was a strange look in his eyes as he said,
I have had a dream.
So, what is that to us?
Brothers, would you like to hear my dream?
No. Now, as I was saying...
Forgive me, brothers, but I feel drawn to tell you of this dream. It's not a long one.
What aileth thee, boy, that thou dost trouble us with matters that concern us not?
Oh, but they do. This dream concerns you all, for you all come into it.
Tell it then and be brief.
I thank thee, Ash. A few words and it's done. But first, hear me. The meaning lies with you, for it is known that the dreamer shall not interpret his own dream. If any of you dream and ask me, I will tell him the meaning, for the Lord has given me that power. But with mine own dream, it is different.
Just call that a few words?
Listen, then, and you will
hear... Joseph, wait.
Let him tell it, Reuben. Have done with it.
No. Joseph, I know not thy dream, but meseemeth it were safer that each man be alone with his dream, and thou shouldst keep thy dream to thyself, that we all may go back to work.
But we were at work, in the dream, I mean. I saw us all together... The sons of Jacob harvesting the grain.
Marvelous. Very interesting.
Proceed, brother.
We labored together without speech and bound the sheaves after cutting the stalks.
Now that is a great dream before the Lord. Knowest thou not, idiot, we should have bound first and cut afterwards?
Ah, wait, for now comes the marvel. Each of us was binding a sheaf, and we were 12. For Benjamin, too, was with us and bound his little sheaf with you in a circle.
What dost thou mean with you in a circle? Wast thou not in it, too?
No, Judah, I was not. Ye were in the circle, the 11, but I stood in the center and bound my sheaf.
I advise thee not to continue, Joseph.
No, Reuben, let him. I would hear the ending.
So say we all.
Well, then. When we had bound our sheaves, each one his own, we left them and went away. But we had gone only 20 paces when Reuben... Yes, Reuben, it was thou. Turned to look back. Then we all turned... And behold, my upright.
Is that all?
Yes. After that, I awaked.
And the brothers, who liked not the meaning of this dream, took counsel, and Simeon said,
It is simple. He is a liar.
Thou meanest it was a made-up thing conceived in vanity?
I do.
there is another possibility. What if the dream came from God? What thinkest thou, Reuben?
Asher, if this dream came from God, there is but one thing to do. Fall on our knees and pray.
Joseph? To our dear little brother?
No, to God. But it is my belief it is nothing but a conceit, as Simeon says.
And the penalty?
A beating, nothing more.
Brothers, my memory is faulty. Did he say, bow down?
Yes.
No. Asher is right. He did not say bow down.
Yes. No.
Asher is right. He did not say bow down. What he said was, make obeisance. I am positive, Gad.
Make obeisance, eh? Well, it's just as bad either way.
No. To make obeisance is not quite so much as to bow down. Is it not so, Asher?
True. One might make obeisance out of caution and shrewdness.
On the other hand, one might bow down and yet be too proud to make obeisance.
Enough. We argue like magpies. It is decided that to bow down is the worst. Understood, Judah?
Understood, my brother. But one thing. Let him tell another dream. And let him once use the word bow down. And then by the Holy of Holies, I will...
So it was with the brothers. And Joseph? Joseph went on dreaming. But there was that in the eyes of the others which kept him silent. And then it came about that Jacob paid a visit. He came to the harvest field and sat under the awning and smiled at his sons as the good ripe grain was gathered. And Jacob said,
it is good that all goes well. It is especially pleasing that all my sons have come together in the Lord. Is it not? Well, Reuben?
Yes, father.
Well, Gad?
Yes, father.
Judah?
It is pleasing, father.
Come now. When I was a young man, we told stories at the rest hour. We sang, and there were poems read, and games. Is it that times have changed so much? Well, Joseph?
I have no story, father.
What? No story from Joseph, the student, the reader?
No, father. There is, however, a dream.
Joseph!
Yes, Reuben?
I think perhaps it would be better if thou didst not tell that dream.
Oh, but this is another one. I dreamed it last night on the threshing floor.
Just the same.
Come. I would hear Joseph's dream. Speak up, my son.
Very well. I dreamed...
Speak up loudly, Joseph. We all may hear.
I dreamed, and I saw in my dream this. This is what I saw. I saw the sun and the moon and the 11 Kohavim waiting upon me. They came and they bowed down before me.
The sun and the moon, Jacob and Rachel, and the 11 brothers. What a thing to dream. And Jacob was angry, and he spoke to Joseph, chiding him, bidding him hold his tongue. As for the brothers, hardly was Jacob gone than they flung themselves as one man into the open. They shrieked and tore the air with curses. And then they sat themselves down in council. That night, they came before Jacob, and Reuben, the firstborn, spoke.
Father, we are going away, all 10.
And Jacob bowed his head. Months passed, and then it happened that Jacob sent for Joseph to come into his tent. And Jacob said,
Joseph, my son, thou knowest thy brothers are grazing the sheep in the vale of Shechem?
Yes, father.
I know not how things are going there. How went the summer lambing? Are thy brothers in health? It has given me much to think, and so I am resolved to send thee to greet them from me.
I am here, father.
Thou wilt inquire of them concerning all that of which I am ignorant, and return to me, with God's help, in 10 or 9 days.
That will I do. I will make a journey across the land. I will visit the brothers and look after things in
thou
the vale of Shechem.
Thou dost not go to look after things. Thy brethren are men enough and need not a child. Perhaps they will return with thee?
This I guarantee. And I say further, I come not back without them.
Thus it was that Joseph arrived in the vale of Shechem. And when the brothers saw him in his coat of many colors, they stared. Hardly had he time to open his mouth when there arose and swelled a thunderous roar as from tortured gullets, an exultant yell of rage and hate and sudden release, and the old ten sprang up as one man and flung themselves upon him. They beat him, coat and all. And when they had beaten him enough, they bound him and flung him into a pit. And then, breathing again, they sat down.
Well, it is done. What now?
We must kill him.
No.
Reuben, art thou with us or against us?
He need not be killed.
He must. To stop now is to leave it at the halfway.
And what is wrong with that? He is punished enough.
No, brother. The halfway makes us guilty. And Jacob's wrath is a terrible thing. Dost thou remember Bilhah, Reuben?
I remember.
Brothers, my name is Dan, but I am also called the Serpent. And not without reason. This will we do. We will leave him in the pit as good as dead, and then...
Brother!
We must be quiet. He lies close at hand and heareth every word. All the more reason for his death.
Reuben, where art thou? Save me!
Are we saying, Dan?
Brothers, it is not for nothing that I am called the Serpent.
Dispense with the preliminaries. Hast thou a plan?
I have. We shall take an animal of the flock and cut its throat. And in this blood we will dip the coat of many colors. Bring we it before Jacob and say unto him, this have we found of the ground. Is it not thy son's garment?
Brothers, save me!
Quietly, he can hear. The dead cannot speak. Let him hear.
Brothers, do not baffle the blood in the coat. I beg not for myself. Do with me as you will. But spare our father. Do not bring him the bloody coat. It would kill him. Reuben, canst thou hear? Kill not our father. Reuben.
Brothers, I am Reuben, the firstborn. And I say unto you, we will do what we will do. But this I know. We must move away from this accursed spot. Away where the sound of his voice will not reach me.
Thus it happened that the brothers moved away, and Joseph was left alone in the pit. And as the brothers argued, it happened that a caravan of traders, Ishmaelites, came upon the pit. And they heard the cries of Joseph, and they rescued him. And even as they approached, the brothers left off arguing. Into their heads had come the same suggestion. They would sell Joseph to the Ishmaelite. And this they did.
Brothers, this is the oath which we will swear, each and separately. I will not tell, nor mention, nor divulge, nor indicate, not by sign or inflection, nor by flicker of mine eyelash, what hath happened here and what we did with the dreamer. As for him who betrays this oath, we, the remainder, shall drive him from land to land, from river to river. He shall not know where to lay his head. Shall have neither life nor death, but both. The life and death shall spit him to one another his whole life long.
And the brothers swore it. And then two beggars were found who brought to Jacob the blood-stiffened rags that were Joseph's coat. And Jacob, seeing this, tore at his clothes and rent them. And Jacob said,
it is too much. First the mother ewe, and now the lamb, wailing arise above the beloved son, over the young shoot whose roots were torn out, over my hopes that are rooted out like to a sapling. Oh, alas, my child. Bread will I not eat. Water will I not drink. For Joseph, my son, is rent in peace.
Thus Jacob wept for the dead. And Joseph, the dead which was not dead, journeyed with the Ishmaelites into the land of Egypt.
We take pleasure in presenting now on the Eternal Light Dr. Ludwig Lewison, novelist and critic, and editor of the New Palestine. Dr. Lewison.
The tragic catastrophe which has come upon mankind and which we pray is now drawing to a close was foreshadowed on that September 14th, 1930, on which the Nationalist Socialists won their first triumph at the polls. Thomas Mann had been invited to read from a new novel he was writing in Berlin. Instead, he delivered an address of warning to his fellow Germans and called it an appeal to reason. The new novel was Joseph and His Brother. Was it what is now known as escapism that urged him on to its composition? Far from it. In these antique tales, in their inner meaning, Thomas Mann found the meanings that mean humanity to him. He had long been convinced that what ailed civilization was the split between nature and spirit. And it was this saving idea which he found to be the central idea of Israel and of Israel's history and faith. He found that idea embodied in Abraham, who was to be blessing and destiny to all peoples. He found it embodied in Jacob. He found it in Joseph. He found, finally and above all, that the eternal was consecrated within the congregation of Israel, as he could be someday within the congregation of mankind itself, if all life were to be lived as Jews are bidden to live it unto the eternal. This is, of course, a poor and thin description of the ideas which impelled Thomas Mann to retell the story of Joseph and his brothers. Yet, though he is first of all a great artist and a great weaver of tales, it is the sober truth that his choice of this subject and his long devotion to it arose from his finding in these immemorial stories the way of human redemption as he himself conceived it. It is also significant that, in this age of the immeasurable crime of the Germans against the Jewish people, the greatest German artist since Goethe should have built this majestic monument of German prose upon a Jewish story told on Jewish assumptions drawn from the inner recesses of the Jewish spirit, summing up what Jews had dreamed and thought concerning this matter through the ages. We cannot speak of an act of reparation. Art is not in that sense self-conscious, but we can speak of a great symbolic gesture by which the stricken moral balance of the world is a little righted.
Thank you, Dr. Lewison. Eternal Light has presented the first of three programs based on the famous Joseph books by Thomas Mann, adapted for radio by Arthur Arendt. Today's program, dealing with young Joseph, will be followed next week by Joseph in Egypt. The third of the programs, 2 weeks from today, will be on Joseph the Provider. Music for today's program was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Caton. Cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple, Brookline, Massachusetts, was the soloist. Paul Mann was featured as Joseph. Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. The Eternal Light has come to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and is presented as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations.